All right. Good morning, everyone. Today we start the sixth parak of Menachos. Today's daf is daf Samech Dal. We begin on Samech Yom Amud Beis. We start with the new Mishnah. The new parak of Menachos, the sixth parak, is an exciting parak. It details a lot about the mitzvah of Havas HaOmer, bringing the Karban Omer. The 16th day of Nisan is the day right after Pesach, the first day of Pesach. Pesach is the 15th day of Nisan, and immediately follows is the first day of Chol HaMoed. We live in the diaspora. So we don't know from this. We know that the 16th day of Nisan is the second day of Yontif. But in Eretz Yisrael, as they don't have much Sveikos in Eretz Yisrael, they have not 2 days of Yontif, but rather 1 day of Yontif, and that second day, first day of Chol HaMoed, is the 16th day of Nisan. It's a very significant day. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Torah told us, Torah tells us in Parshas Emor that we have to bring a Karban HaOmer. Karban HaOmer is made out of barley. Outside of the Sota, there's no other Karban Mincha that's made out of barley. That's it. It's just the Karban HaOmer that's made out of barley. The Torah tells us to bring it on the 16th day of Nisan. And with the Karban HaOmer, of course, we start counting. Hence, we have the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And we count for 49 days on the 15th day. So we have a Yontov called Shavuos. I don't think I've just given one piece of information that you didn't know already. I'm sure all that information you know. The mitzvah of bringing the Omer is a date significant karban. It's date sensitive, time sensitive, and so therefore the 16th day of Nisan is when you bring it, regardless of what that day comes out on the calendar. So that means that even if it comes out on a Shabbos, you can still bring the karban to Omer. Okay, so. And you not only you bring the Karban HaOmer, but all the malachas that are involved in bringing the Karban HaOmer, you have to do as well. So unlike other karbanos, where if it's an animal, so the malacha that you need to do is shechtit, and there are other malachas as well, perhaps even flaying the animal. We'll talk a little bit about that this morning. But when it comes to the Havas HaOmer, the bringing of the Karban HaOmer, so there's a lot of malachas involved. The malacha Shabbos abound that you need to violate in order to bring the Karban HaOmer. So it's barley. It's attached to the ground. So they went out with a sickle and they cut the barley with a sickle, and then you go through all your other grain malachas, the malacha of dash and the malacha of merakeid and all those malachas which you may or may not have remembered from the seventh parak of Shabbos, but there's a lot of malachas in order to violate, but you violate them because it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to bring on the 16th day of Nisan, and this is what's called the Karban HaOmer. Now, that is just the most basic of basic information in order to begin the sixth parak of Menachos. Another thing to be aware of, and this really is something that you need to know, we all need to know throughout the sixth parak of Menachos, and that is a little bit of history and controversy. A group of Jewish people started really during the Bais Sheni, the second temple in the Beit HaMikdash, who were not traditionalists, did not like tradition. Right. When I say tradition, of course, I mean Torah Shabbat Peh, right? That which we spend an hour in the morning doing every single morning. Torah Shabbat Peh, this whole Gemara thing. Kavachomer and Zerah Shava and, you know, all the things that sometimes, you know, we look at and, you know, it takes a lot of energy and effort and work, and I don't think it's an issue of laziness. I don't think that was the issue. The issue was, they were kofar. They were, right, they did not...
They were very hard to dispute it, right?
Yeah, they did not. They were not believers in the oral tradition, and they rejected the oral tradition. And they're given a bunch of names. You're going to see them called Sadukim. You're going to sometimes see them called Baitusim. Okay, right. In English, there's a whole assortment of names to call them. But okay, this is a group of people. And apparently, the reason why we occupy so much time talking about them, as we will over the course of the sixth parak, is because they must have had some sort of powerful influence. Meaning, it's not just they were some sort of fringe group, but they must have had some sort of very strong hold during this period of time. Because, as you'll see, you're going to see a lot of it during the sixth parak of Menachos. You'll see it in the beginning of Yuma a lot, where we go out of our way. We, the traditionalists, right? The name that at the time we were called was Purushim, right? We, the traditionalists, we who believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, we who are carriers of the Mesorah, so we did things that we went a lot out of our way in order to show them that they are not correct, that they are in fact wrong. And even if it... Just one second.
Actually,
even if it involves piercing, even if it involved publicizing. And as we're going, I'm going to show you right in the Mishnah, even if it involved more chilul Shabbos, which is going to be an unbelievable chiddush, but I'll show you in the Mishnah, even if it involved that as well, we go out of our way to show the populace that this is not correct, that they are not correct, that we have a tradition, we have Torah Shabbat Peh, we have Halach Lamoshe Mishinai, and this is simply the way we do it.
How did they sell iPhone 9?
I guess okay, the and why does all this come up now in the Menachos in the sixth parak, and what is the, how did the Tzedukim take a center stage, well not center stage, but take a significant role in the sixth parak? Because when the Torah describes bringing the Karban Omer, the Torah says, "Mimacharas haShabbos," you bring it the day after Shabbos. Okay, without Torah Shabbat Peh, without any oral tradition, if all I had was just my own, just a chumash and my own intellect, so then I would have said that the day to bring the Omer is Sunday, irregardless of when Pesach falls out. Torah doesn't say the first day after Pesach. Torah says Mimacharas haShabbos, the day after Shabbos.
How do you know which Shabbos?
We know. Okay, okay, that's a question. If I'm not mistaken. And I make so many, so if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara later on will discuss that, your question. Right? I mean, how do they know that? But, okay, but that's what the Torah says, and so therefore they operate under the assumption that the second day, the day that we bring the Karban Omer is going to be the Shabbos. The first Shabbos after Pesach, or the first Shabbos after the first day of Pesach. I'll tell you the truth, I don't even remember. But maybe the Gemara later on will discuss that. Okay, that is, and so what we do, in order to demonstrate to them that that's not correct, and the way to understand the Torah, Mimacharas HaShabbos is the day after Pesach, right? Shabbos here means Pesach. Pesach, Shabbos, in this particular case, are synonymous. And the Gemara later on will discuss that in more detail. We got a while before we actually get to that point, but it's coming up in the sixth parak. So because of our tradition, so therefore, we do things that may be a little bit over and above what we need to do in order to bring the Karban Omer, but just simply to demonstrate to the public at large that they are not correct and they are not following the traditions. Okay, that is a brief introduction. Let's begin. We start now the sixth parak of Menachos. We start with the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Omer Hayaba b'Shabbos Mishal Sha'in of Echol Mechamesh. Difference between Shabbos and a weekday. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Karban Omer, now the Karban Omer is a regular mincha, so look, let's just talk in our regular menachos terminology that we're used to. How much flour you need to bring, so it's barley, not wheat, but the volume is going to be the same. It's an isaron, it's going to be a tenth of an eifa. So a tenth of an eifa now is brought for this Karban Omer, so how much flour do you need to start off with? So those of you who sift, all right, now it's people still do it?
Yeah.
Okay, those of you who sift, you know that when you sift, so obviously you're not going to end off with what you started with, right? Sifting, the whole idea of sifting is that it's a filtration process. It's a way of separating the good from the bad. So Rabbi Shmuel says that if it was brought on Shabbos, so you started with three sa'as of barley flour, which will be sifted and sifted and sifted, and it'll come out to one saw. Okay? So you start off with three, and you basically filter it down to one saw through the act of sifting. If, however, it's brought during the week, so then you start off with five saw. Okay. Now, as Rashi points out, Rashi says this a couple times in the beginning of the Gemara, when you start off with five, so getting a saw out of five is easy. It's easy. It doesn't take a lot of sifting times. In other words, you sift, you'll end up with refined flour from each one of the sa'ah. And obviously, if you're starting with five and you're going down to one, so basically each sa'ah is going to generate about 20% of it is going to turn into very fine and refined flour. On Shabbos, however, in order to get five sa'ah, so that's a lot of malacha that you need to violate. Meaning, instead of getting three, you're going to get five. That's more harvesting, right? Actual threshing, the cutting of the grain, right? It's more threshing, it's more winnowing, it's more malachas that are involved. So Rabbi Shmuel operates with a very simple basis, which is conservation of malacha. Let's try to minimize the amount of malacha that's done on Shabbos. Now, In order to achieve getting one sa'ah out of three, it's going to take more work. Because what that three saw, you're going to have to sift and re-sift and re-sift. And Rabbi Yishmael says that's good. So you'll work a little bit more on Shabbos. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but think about it. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, yeah, you'll be working a little bit more, but you'll be doing less malacha. Right? On Shabbos, the key is less malacha, not less work. Work is, you know, work is defined only by malacha on Shabbos. So if you can accomplish your goal by doing less malacha, even though it's going to require you to do more work, so Rabbi Shmuel says that's the way to do it on Shabbos. Okay, we're going to come back. We'll discuss more about Rabbi Shmuel in the Gemara. The Chachamim omrim echa Shabbos v'echa chol mishal shayabah. And the Chachamim say no, it's always going to be a unit of three sa'a. During the week or during a Shabbos, it doesn't matter when the 16th day of Nisan falls out on, it's always going to be three sa'a. Rabbi Chanina is going to come on and omrim Rabbi Shabbos hayinikta biyachir v'magal echad. Uvekupa achas uvechol b'shosh b'shlosha v'shosh kupas v'shosh magals. Let me work backwards. Rabbi Chanina is going to go on and says, now I'm not going to follow the Mishnah in the order presented, just so I can be clear about what the point of Rabbi Chanina is going to Kohanim is. During the week, you need a minimum of three Kohanim to go out there. Why? Because three Kohanim actually need to do the work? No, one Kohen can do the job. Right, of harvesting, of bringing in a basket, right? How many sickles do you need? Really, you only need one. However, the Chachamim demanded, get three. Right? Three is a quorum already. We've seen that just the other day in the Gemara, where three people were involved in the Tanufa, right? One Kohen passes it to another Kohen who does the actual Tanufa, who then in turn passes it to a third Kohen. So you see that three is a crowd, and I mean that in a positive way, right? Three is a crowd. And so over here, when it comes to the mitzvah of Havas HaOmer, bringing the Karban Omer, so generally speaking, we want three. Well, why do you need three? You don't need three functionally. You don't need it logistically. You need it just because we want to create a commotion. Why do we want to create a commotion? So go back to my introduction. Because this is a time and period where you had the Tzedukim. And they said, don't bring it on the second day of Pesach, bring it on the first Shabbos. So in order so that we publicize and propagate the matter, and we tell the people that, no, this is the time to do it, so we have minimum three Kohanim go out. And when the three Kohanim go out, each one of them would be carrying a sickle. And each one of them would be harvesting. So Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim says, yeah, during the week, do that. But don't do that on Shabbos. Because, meaning, if the 16th day of Nisan falls out on a weekday, so then you'll go out, and you'll go out and you'll do it with three people. Because we want the piersim, we want publicity. We want people to know that today is the Havas Omer, not what the Tzedukim say. But if the 16th day of Nisan falls out on a Shabbos, so then don't do it. Don't have three people go out. Meaning you have still have the mitzvah of Havas Omer, do it, but do it only with one Kohen. That's what Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim teaches us. That. On Shabbos, I'm going to read it again. Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim Omer b'Shabbos ha'yinikta b'yachid. So on Shabbos, do it with one person. Uva magal achas in one sickle. Uva kupa achas in one basket. Uvechol, but if it falls out during the week, if the 16th day of Nisan falls out during the week, b'shlosha. Everything's in threes. Shalosh kupos, shalosh magalos. Three Kohanim, three baskets, three sickles. Okay. V'chachamim omrim, echad Shabbos v'echad chol b'shlosha, b'shalosh kupos u'v'shalosh magalos. Now the Chachamim say, even if the 15th day, let's do that again, even if the 16th day of Nisan falls out on a Shabbos, you still go out in threes. And this is what I told you earlier. Right, but we want to publicize a miracle. So and the Gemara is going to discuss this, but right, realize now that the significance, the importance of publicizing the miracle is so great that we'll even have two people who are, quite frankly, not necessary. Not, we don't need them in order to actually harvest the grain, but just for the purposes of harvesting, so they, in fact, are allowed to do it. Okay, so that's obviously somewhat, sounds like a big chiddush. Now we'll start with the Gemara. Bishlam Rabbanan. So we're going to go to the first part of the Mishnah. The first part of the Mishnah talked about how much grain you need to harvest. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, difference between Shabbos and Chol. On Shabbos, you harvest only three sa'ah, and on the weekday, you do five. And the Chachamim said it's always going to be three. So now, Bishlam, Rabban and Kasavi, Isar and Mufchar, Bishol, Shayin, Asay, Veloshna, Bechol, Veloshna, Bishabbos. So according to the Chachamim, it's easy to understand. How do you get to a sa'ah? You start with three. And that's always the standard. And it doesn't matter if the 16th day of Nisan falls out during the weekday or falls out on Shabbos. Three is your magic number. Three is the number. And that's fine. And that doesn't require much analysis. However, El Rabbi Yishmael, my Kasavar, what does require a significant amount of analysis is going to be the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Meaning, for Rabbi Yishmael, what's your magic number? Well, how do you get to one sa'ah? So, if five is your number, so then five should be your number. Whether the 16th day of Nisan falls out on a Shabbos or on a weekday. So five is your number, so go with five. I feel a b'Shabbos nami, and he mishalosh asi. I feel a b'chol nami, and if three is your number, so then three should be your number. But why are you vacillating between three and five? What's the difference if the omer is falling out either on a Shabbos or on a weekday? It should be one standard number, and that's it. Amar Rabba Kasavra Yishmal Yisar Mufchar Belo Tircha Asi Mechamish B'Tircha Asi Mishalosh. Okay, so the Gemara says, and I basically said this out in the Mishnah, but you know, I looked ahead, if you will. Right? Basically, it goes like this: that when you start off with five, you're going to get a sa'ah, and you'll get it pretty easily, right? Because when you start off with five, so you have a lot to work with. With one sifting of each one of the five, you will easily obtain your one sa'ah. So not much tircha. With three, you can get a sa'ah of, an isaron of finely sifted flour. But you're going to have to put more work in. B'chol ma'isina mi'chamesh, d'hachi shvil chamilsa. Now, during the week, you'll do with five, because it's better, meaning it's going to be less work, and actually the quality is going to be just a little bit better, a hair better. B'Shabbos, but on Shabbos, mutav. But on Shabbos, this is now Rabbi Yishmael and the conservation of Malacha. Do more work. I know that's counterintuitive, but that's exactly Rabbi Yishmael's point. Do more work with one Malacha rather than doing less work with many Malachos. So in other words, yeah, you're going to be doing more Harkada sifting. By the way, Harkada, right, Rashi brings this down. I think Rashi brings this down in Shabbos. I don't think I'm making this up. The word harkada sifting. You know what the word harkada comes from? The root of the word harkada, rikudim, right? Dancing. Because if you ever see sifting, you see the flour like dancing on the sifter. They jump up and down in here. Okay, it's the same. It's the same root. It's the same etymology. So anyway, so you'll do more harkada. You'll do more sifting, but that's fine. Because by doing more sifting, you're going to be less involved with other malachas, less violation of other malachas, that's better. Okay. Amar Rabba. Now, for in an Amud of Gemara, from here until the middle of Samach Dal Amud Aleph, even beyond that a little bit, the Gemara now is going to try to do alignment. Okay? Meaning that we have this Rabbi Yishmael, who is now subscribing to a principle of more work, less malacha. Meaning conservation of malacha. If you can do something with less malacha on Shabbos, it's better. So in other words, we're going to now look, is there somewhere else in Shas, some other Tana, who also subscribes to this view of conservation of malacha? Meaning basically, just give you a thumbnail sketch. We're now going to be discussing various Tanaim throughout Shas, who basically are going to discuss a heter, meaning on Shabbos you're allowed to do a particular malacha, but you know what? See if you can cut down on the malacha. See if you can scale it down so that you don't have to do a lot of malacha. We already have Rabbi Yishmael in the hopper. Meaning Rabbi Yishmael is already of that position that you should conserve on malacha.
Even
if it's going to mean that you're going to have to do more work. Okay? So can we put somebody else in together with Rabbi Yishmael? So that will be what the Gemara is going to try to do. And for an Amud of Gemara, we're going to try to do it. It's going to be great. It'll give us an opportunity to basically take a little tour of Shas and see various issues that come up on Shabbos and see if anyone else subscribes to this. Amar Rabba Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochum ben Broka, Amru Davar Echa, Did Tanya. So we start with a Mishnah in Pesachim. Now the Mishnah Psachim details the following. 14th day of Nisan, 2 days earlier. 14th day of Nisan falls on a Shabbos, so of course we still bring the Karban Pesach. Right? Karban Pesach has to be brought, ben Molado, and its time means even on Shabbos. When Karban Pesach is brought on a Shabbos, so you shecht it, right? And you can't cook it yet, you're not going to roast it, because you're going to not eat it until this evening. Okay, so don't cook it and roast it on Shabbos. I say cook, I mean roast. Right? We all knew that. Right? Don't roast it on Shabbos, wait till tonight. Roast it tonight. Okay. And there's one thing, however, we need to do with the animal. We need to flay the animal.
Correct.
Right? Because we gotta remove the inner fats of the animal, the imurim of the animal, because they gotta be burnt on the Mizbeach. So we're gonna flay the animal. But this is flaying not so I can eat the animal, because that's not going to happen until tonight. This is flaying just so I can get out the imurim. So, Arbaso shechalas b'Shabbos mafshis as a Pesach adachazeh divrei Rabbi Yishmael b'no sheRav Yochem ben Broka. Okay, not to be too confused, but this is not the same Rabbi Yishmael as our Mishnah. It's a different Rabbi Yishmael. How do I know that? Rabbi Yishmael, son of Rav Yochem ben Broka. Okay, he says flay the animal halfway down. Now, I don't know how many people here have flayed an animal. Right, I'm guessing the number is zero. Okay, unless you run a... And by the way, when I say zero, I include myself in that number, meaning I've never flayed an animal. But what they did is they basically tie the animal on a hook, right, by its legs, and they cut a little bit, they make a little incision around the hide of the animal, and then they just pull down. Okay, now, what you normally would do is pull all the way down and remove all the hide of the animal. But this is Shabbos. So Rav Yishmael ben Osher, Rav Yochanan ben Broka says, just pull halfway down until you're able to access and get to the Imurim and leave it like that. And then after Shabbos is over tonight, you'll finish the flaying, you'll roast the animal, and you'll enjoy your Karban Pesach. The Chachamim Amrim, Ad She'afshir es Kula. Now the Chachamim say, no, do have Shata. Do, right? Flay the whole thing. Now. Yeah, right. Does everyone see it already? So Mila Amar Rav Yishmael ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka Hasam Kol Echad De'Efshalo Tarchinan Hachinami Kevin De'Efshalo Tarchinan. Okay, reduce, conserve the amount of malacha that you're going to do if you can conserve. Okay, and that is the position of Rav Yishmael ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka when it comes to Karban Pesach. And what the Gemara now wants to do, Rav is trying to do, is say that's our Rav Yishmael. It's the same position as our Rav Yishmael. And the Gemara says, Mimai, not necessarily. The Gemara says, not necessarily. There's a mitigating factor. Bizayon kachim. Rashi says it beautifully. Rashi says in the bottom of the last Rashi on the previous Amud, imagine, you flay the animal only halfway down, and you leave it like that. It looks disgusting.
Yeah.
Right, I know we're talking about a dead animal to begin with, but Rashi says, Domek nevela. It looks like a nevela. Right, you just rip the skin only halfway down and you just leave it like that until after Shabbos. That's Bizayon Kachim. So it could be that our Rebbe Yishmael Menachos would tell you, no, don't stop halfway, go all the way down. There's an element of Bizayon Kachim, so I don't necessarily agree with Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka. So, Inami, the Gemara now in the top of Samach Talmud Aleph says, look, and we could also go the other direction. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben Broka asa baladisa avalei tzarech kavoa v'tzarech echulei Shabbos. Look, there in the case of Karban Pesach, it's functional. Meaning, what am I doing? I'm flaying the animal just so I can get to the Imurim. So I'll stop midway. Because after I got to the midpoint, I've achieved my purpose of getting the Imurim. I got the Imurim. Okay, stop. Don't do any more.
And the
Imurim will put on the Mizbech on Shabbos. The Moado. But over here, right? Maybe he also subscribes to the Chacham, meaning could very well be that he just simply maintains that 3 is the magic number. 3 is what you need. Meaning, I basically disagree with Rabbi Shmuel over his assessment that 5 is good. No, maybe I think 3 is good. Okay, so we did not find synchronization between Rabbi Shmuel of Menachos and Rabbi Shmuel of Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Let's make another attempt. Ela Amar Rabba. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanin is Gan HaKohanim Amru Davar Achad. Oh, so the Gemara says, let's try to align Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanin as Gan HaKohanim. Which Rabbi Chanin is Gan HaKohanim? The one that we just learned this morning in our Mishnah. Right? We learned in our Mishnah. Rabbi Chanin is Gan HaKohanim Amru B'Shabbos Niksa B'Yachim B'Magal Achad V'Kupa Achas U'V'Chol B'Shlosha B'Shalosh Kupas V'Shalosh Magalos V'Chacham Amomrim Echad Shabbos V'Echad Chol B'Shalosh Kupas V'Shalosh Magalos. Okay? So the Gemara quotes our entire Mishnah. What does Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim teach us? Very simple. That on Shabbos, you're not going to use three Kohanim. And the three Kohanim are not going to use a sickle. Why? Conservation of Malacha. Reduce the amount of Malacha that's going to be performed on Shabbos. So if there's any alignment that we're going to make an alignment between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim. It seems to be perfect. And in terms of real estate, right, it's in the same Mishnah. Okay? Seems to be good. Milo kama Rabbi Chanin's Gan HaKohanim Hasum Kevin Dev Shalot Tarchinan Hachanami Kevin Dev Shalot Tarchinan. So now we can align these two Tanaim together, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Chanin's Gan HaKohanim of our Mishnah. Mimai. The Gemara says, I don't know. Yeah, that's they don't necessarily align with one another. Dilma lo ad kan lo kama. Let me do that again. Dilma ad kan lo kama Rabbi Shmuel hacha ella deleika pirsumai milsa ava hasam diika pirsumai milsa ema karabban and svirulei. So again, go over the mitigating factors in the second part of the Mishnah where we're talking about how many kohanim to send out and do it. The mitigating factor is pirsumai milsa. It's so important to make sure that we publicize to the world that the tzedukim are not right. And it's not mimachar as the Shabbos the day after Shabbos. It's the day after Pesach. So as a result of that, that's pirsumai milsa. I agree with the chachamim. Right? Three kohanim should go out. Three sickles should go out. But here when it comes to the actual sifting of the flour, 5/3. Right? 3/5, I should say. Inami, ad kan lo kama Rabbi Chanin's Gan HaKohanim Hasam di ibachadi b'shlosh of tzorach gavoh misaved kil chaso. And again, we can go the other direction as well. Meaning Rabbi Chanin may not agree with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Chanin's Gan HaKohanim says that when it comes to how many Kohanim to send out, look, Shabbos, the job could get done with one. So send one. But here, he may not agree with Rabbi Yishmael, because again, Rabbi Yishmael is working with an assumption that five is better than three. The Chachamim don't agree. The Chachamim say three is as good as three. Meaning three is a number. So it could be that Rabbi Chanin is Gan HaKohanim just simply agrees with the Chachamim that all you need is three, and you don't need five. Okay, so that alignment didn't work out. Ela Maravashi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Amr Davar Echad. So the Gemara is going to make a third attempt of alignment. Third and final? Yes. Third and final attempt of alignment. And that is the following. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah discusses the following. Okay, we have a calendar nowadays. So, in terms of trying to figure out when the next month is going to be, it's not that hard. Okay, go to the calendar that you have hanging on your fridge and take a look, and the calendar will tell you exactly when the next month is going to be and when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. In the good old days, so they had Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctification of the new month, where we would go out in the late evening and we would get a glimpse of the new moon, right, about 12 to 24 hours after the Molad. We're going to be able to see the new moon. And then what we do is we run to Yerushalayim and we give testimony in Yerushalayim that we saw the new moon. And the Beis Din is going to then say, oh yeah, let's hear from two Edom. They hear it from two Edom. And based on the testimony of the two Edom, they sanctify the new month. Now, our schlepping to Yerushalayim when we see the new moon, sometimes is going to be even on Shabbos. Right. Meaning the new month could be any time, any day during the week, whenever you see the new moon. So that means that I may have to walk outside of Tchum. It may mean on some occasions that I'll have to ride an animal, right? Or get in the car, you know. So, all right, or make a phone call, so, or text. So, right, that won't work as a distance. So, So it's going to require Chilul Shabbos, and not only is it going to require Chilul Shabbos, but you are Mechalel Shabbos, right? If you see the new moon, you're Mechalel Shabbos. Now, what do you mean? Me, I see the new moon, right? I'm sure somebody else saw the new moon, right? This is what we call in psychology the bystander effect. When you know somebody else, you know somebody else sees it, and you'll say, "Ah, yeah, somebody else will do it. I don't have to be the one to do it. Everyone knows what I'm talking about." So, but nevertheless, it's incumbent upon you, the one who saw it, to be Mechal Shabbos. Even though when you get to Yerushalayim, there's going to be a room full of people over there who saw the new moon. And right, and remember, we learned from the Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah, they would put a spread out for everybody so that, you know, they would put, they'd make a Kiddush, basically. Right, people would come.
Bagels.
Everybody
be looking for the new moon.
Now, what was in Yerushalayim, in the Sanhedrin, in Yerushalayim? Now, what if it's a clear? What if it's clear? What if it's really a clear evening, and everybody can see it, and you see it, there's not a cloud in the sky in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, here in Florida also, right during certain parts of the year, just not a cloud in the sky. And you know, and you're living out in Yenemsvelt, and you're living out in the sticks, and you know, there's a lot of people who are seeing the moon right now. And it's not just me, and people closer than me. So you know what? I don't have to be Mechal Shabbos. So, Mishnah brings down a Machlokas. Okay. Mishnah brings down a Machlokas. So, So according to the Tanakhama, don't overthink the whole issue. Just go. You see the new moon, you go. It's a clear night, you go. You're Mechal Shabbos. Don't overthink it. It's Rabbi Yossi Amrim, Nirabalo, and Mechal Shabbos. And Rabbi Yossi says, no. If it's a clear night, and you're not living right there, and you're not in Yerushalayim, don't go. Because somebody closer than you is going to go. So, again, what do you see from Rabbi Yossi? The conservation of malacha. Try to minimize, try to reduce the amount of malacha that's done on Shabbos. Milo Amar Rabbi Yossi Asam Kevin Dev Shalot Tarchinan Hachanami Kevin Dev Shalot Tarchinan. And it now sounds like that the Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is Rabbi Yishmael, not the same person, but the same mindset, Rabbi Yishmael of our Mishnah here in Menachos. Sounds that way. And again, what the Gemara now is going to do is it's going to separate, create a level of separation between the two. First of all, Rabbi Yishmael here in Menachos does not necessarily agree with Rabbi Yossi, because it's a psychological issue. You start telling people not to come, people won't come. Meaning, and you explain to people, right? Oh, but no. Don't come if it's clear night and other people can see it. It doesn't matter. Once you start getting people into the mindset of don't come, people won't come. Even the people that live right there in Yerushalayim won't come. So it could be that Rabbi Shmuel just disagrees. Nothing to do with more malacha, less malacha. It's the mindset that we don't want people to create, which is, I don't have to come. So, inami. And also, we can go the other way as well. And again, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah does not necessarily agree with Rabbi Shmuel. Yes, Rabbi Yossi is a big believer in the minimizing malacha. But over here, it could be that they just simply say that three sa'ah is all you need. And if three sa'ah is all you need, so then three is a magic number, both for Shabbos and during the week. Okay, and so, so it was an attempt, and it was a good attempt, but the Gemara did not successfully put Rabbi Shmuel in line with any Tana in Shas. Right? The Gemara tried 1, 2, 3 occasions to try to align Rabbi Shmuel with another Tana in terms of his basic thinking of reducing and minimizing the amount of Malacha on Shabbos. Okay, Itmar. From here till the next Mishnah and the next Amud, which hopefully I would like to get through, we're going to basically talk in more broader terms about Chilul Shabbos and, right, not so much minimizing the amount of Chilul Shabbos, but it's an interesting discussion coming up. It's going to be an issue of intent and result. Intent versus result. Itmar. You'll see what I mean. Shachar Shechatar Shel Tzibor V'Einot Tzarech Ela Achas. Okay? You have to bring a Karban Chatas. Let's say Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbos. Okay, one carbon chatas is brought on that Shabbos, but just one. Right? Tosso says we could have given other examples as well, but chatas is such a great example because you only need to bring one. And you a person shechs two carbon chatases on that Shabbos, and you only need one. Now, you have license and permission, the Kohanim that is, to shecht one of the two, but not two. So, Amar Rabba, the Itema Rabbi Ami. So, either Rabba or Rabbi Ami said it, and the Gemara later on will point out that that's going to be significant, who said it. But one of them said, Chayav al Shni or Pater al Rishona. Now, the first one, you're Pater. Now, Pater, by the way, means over here, not just Pater, but it's the mitzvah, meaning you were supposed to shecht the Karmen Chatas. So don't get so confused by the word Pater. But you're Chayav on the second one. Okay? You're Chayav on the second one because it was unnecessary. And it was not a mitzvah. And so what did you do? Plain and simple, you violated a malacha on Shabbos. Now we're going to assume that the person did it, the Kohen did it inadvertently, and so we're going to use the word chayev, and chayev over here means chayev a karban chatas, but let's just for simplicity's sake, it just means that he violated Shabbos. Okay? Now, so far so good. I didn't say anything that earth-shattering. That's pretty straightforward. The first one's a mitzvah, the first one you could check. The second one's not a mitzvah, you don't have license to shecht on Shabbos, and if you did so, you're mechalal Shabbos. That's easy. That part is, that's simple.
And you owe a chatas.
And you owe, right. And you owe.
You have one right ready.
You owe a chatas for the chatas that you shechted.
That's the cause.
Okay, now. The afilu niskaper lo bishnia. But here now we're going to get to chidushim. The afilu niskaper lo bishnia. Even if you ended up needing the second one. Rashi gives the example. Rashi says, kigon. Right? Rashi's right alongside where we are in the Gemara. Sorry, that was very Ashkenazis. Birishus shachat, afagav the self lo keeper ela bishnia. Vishnia nami ho uva keeper li pater ala, afilo hachi chai vashnia upater arishona, the basa shchita azlina. Look. After, and this is so important, right? And I'm going to try to be clear about this. After you shecht the second one, turns out the first one went, something went wrong with the first one. Rashi gave the example of the blood spilled from the first one. So I never was zorik the dam of the first animal. And now it turns out that, oh, I really need the second one because the first one was lost and disqualified. But when I shechted the second one, either it, let's say it didn't happen yet, right? Let's say it like that. It didn't happen yet, meaning the disqualification of the first animal did not happen yet. So here, Rabbi teaches us, it doesn't matter. Meaning that when I shecht the second one, I at that point in time, in my mind, what was going on is that I did not have license to shecht it. The first one has not yet been disqualified. And so therefore, I'll be chayiv on shechting the second one because it was unnecessary. Ve'afilu nimseis rishona kechusha. And even if the first one was an inferior animal, when we bring a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we want the animal to be nice and plump, right? Right. The Rashi brings down the pasuk in Malachi, Hakrivu na l'fchastecha. When you bring a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you got to bring the best. And if you have a choice, meaning there are two animals in front of you, one is a nice plump animal, and the other one is lean and kind of sickly looking. So go with the better animal. So even if the second one is plump and the first one is not plump, it doesn't matter. Meaning, you shechted that second animal, you did not have license to shecht that second animal, you're chayiv. Okay. Umi amar Rabbi Hachi, so the Gemara says, wait a second, I'm going to present a stira between Rabbah and Rabbah. Bivaha amar Rabbah, hayu lefanav shtecha, taos achas shmein avachas kchusha, shachas shmein avachakach shachat kchusha, chayiv. Kchusha avachakach shmeina, pater. If you shech the lean animal, the thin animal first, and then you shech the shmeina, you are actually going to be pater, meaning that the shmeina is actually going to be used as a carbon. Not only that, but we say to him, no, we want actually, we prefer the fat one, the better one. Now, so now it comes out as a contradiction between Rabbah and Rabbah, because in the first statement, Rabbah says And when you shech both animals, you're going to be chayv on that second animal because you didn't have permission. Even if the second animal is fat and the first animal is thin. In the second statement of Rabbah, when it's a choice between fat and thin, you shech the thin, you still have the right to shech the fat because that's the one that you should have brought. That's the one that you brought lechatchila. Yeah. So it's a steer between Rabbah and Rabbah. So Ibai Sam Asamak Khusha Mikamaisa. So two ways to resolve the steer. One way is to go back to the first statement of Rabbah and just take out that part, take out the part about lean versus fat. Okay? And limit Rabbah's statement in the first section to just where you spilled the blood from the first animal. Okay, that's one way to deal with the problem. Ibai Samai Rabbi Ami Amra. Or go back to the first statement of Rabbah and realize that there were two versions of who made that first statement. Was it Rabbah or it could have been Rabbi Ami? So the other answer is just assign authorship of the first statement to Rabbi Ami. So now there is no stira between Rabbah and Rabbah. Amalei Rabbi Nol Rav Ashi, name says Rabbi Shana Chusha Bibne Ma'ayim Mahu. Okay.
What about the resolving it? Even if, let's say, it's Rabbi Ami, how do they resolve the conflict between Rabbah and Rabbi Ami?
They have, in other words, there's no resolution. It's a machlokas. When I have a lean animal and a fat animal,
so no resolution.
Right, no resolution. Just a machlokas between the two.
Is the fat animal in essence a tamura?
It's not a tamura. No. Both of them are
on the same
status. Right. Both of them were originally designed to be brought as a carbon, but fat versus thin, you go with the fat. Nimsei harishon kachusha bivnei mayimahu. So the Gemara says, "Let's. What about the following? Both animals look great. Both animals look nice and healthy and plump, and you were doing really good. And then you shechted the first animal. And fine, you shechted the first animal and it looked great. And then you shechted the second animal. Okay, now you have a problem because you only have license to shecht one of the two animals, and you shechted the first animal, and the first animal was nice and fat and plump, and it looked great." Okay. And then when you shech the second animal, so as a result of that, you should have a liability for shechting that second animal because you had no right to shech that second animal. Okay. Now we go back to the first animal. And when we go back to the first animal, we open up the animal and we take out the insides of the animal and it looked good on the outside, but after looking at the inside, it's rough stuff. It's krusha. Now exactly what that means, I don't know. Meaning the intestines were thin. The ribs were thin. I'm not really sure. Maybe the animal looked plump, but it was.
Maybe it means wool.
Okay. Right.
The meat was nothing.
Okay.
The meat on his
point is, without trying to figure out too much, point is it looked good on the outside, but when you open it up, it was not good. Not the kind of carbon you would want to offer. So now, does your discovery of the inferiority of the first animal give you a pass on having shechted the second animal? Okay, great question. So in other words, when you shechted the second animal, you didn't know all this.
Right.
You didn't know that the first animal was bad on the inside. Okay? So now you went ahead and you violated Shabbos because you had no right to do so. But now it comes out that the first animal was no good. You opened it up and you saw what was inside and it's no good. So now, can that give you a pass on the second animal? So now listen carefully, because this is what I told you. It's intent versus result. When I shechted the second animal, I didn't know this information. So my intent was to violate Shabbos. The result is, I didn't. I didn't violate Shabbos because that first animal ended up being no good. But I didn't know that when I shechted the second animal. Okay, so that's exactly the question on the table. So the Gemara says, consider the following. Okay? A terrible scenario over here. Terrible. You heard that there's a boy lost out at sea. Right? A young child lost out at sea. You heard that. Okay, you heard it. You're not going out. You're not on a rescue mission. You're fishing, and you're fishing on Shabbos. Okay.
Doesn't Tom mean drown?
He's right, drowning.
Drown. Yeah.
Right. Yes, it does mean drown, but he didn't drown. He's drowning.
Yeah.
Right. He's in the process of drowning.
He's drowning.
Shama shatav b'tinok b'yam u parash mitzuda la'alos dagim, and this guy goes out on his boat and He's really interested in fishing. Fishing is right now his goal. Fishing. On Shabbos. Okay. Vehela dogim. And it's a success story. Right? He comes home and he says, I caught. And he really did. Not like me. So, and he really did. Vehela dogim. Chayev. Okay, so he's going to be chayev for Chal Shabbos. Right? Fishing is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. Trapping an animal. Okay. Vehela's dogim. Vehela dogim vitino. Now he threw his net out. And in the net now he catches both fish and the boy. But I want to make this clear though, because he had no intent on saving the life of the child. That wasn't his goal for the day. Even though, and this is also important to understand, he knew that there was a boy drowning out in the ocean, but he had no intention of capturing the boy. That wasn't really what he was after. He was interested in fish. Okay, we can all think it, and I'll say it, not a nice guy. Okay, but to say the least. But that's not the point for our discussion. The point is intent versus result. His intention was to violate Shabbos. His result is he saved a life. Okay. Rava Amar Chayef. So Rava says he's Chayef. Meaning intent is the key factor in assessing whether or not he has liability. His intent was to violate Shabbos. He did violate Shabbos. By the way, that's also important. Meaning on Shabbos, if you say to yourself, I want to violate a malacha, that's not enough. In other words, you have to have an action as well. He does have an action. He threw his net into the sea, caught fish. But together with the fish, he caught a child. But his intent was to violate Shabbos. He did violate Shabbos. Rava says he's chayev. Rava, okay, subtle difference. Hey versus Aleph, right? Rava Amar Pater. Rava says that he is Pater. He's exempt. He's excused. Even though his intent was really to fish. But since that child came up in the net, right, he saved the child. Oh, I'm going to say it really well. He saved the child, and the child saved him from Chilul Shabbos. Okay. Now, I didn't plan that.
He only had a child.
No one
would say it's okay.
The Adkan, Rabba lo kapater ela kevin shama. Amrina nami daita itinok. So, and even Rabba, who gives the guy a little bit of a pass, but that's only working with the assumption that he knew that there was a child drowning, even though he wasn't really interested in saving the child, but he knew. So that when the child comes up on the net, we can say, yeah, you know what? He's the man is not 100% cruel.
This guy was probably throwing the kid back in. You're like, you know what I'm saying?
I understand.
Yeah.
No, he'll take the reward.
We will say, because of his knowledge that there was a child drowning, so you know what? Maybe there is a little bit of love in his heart. Maybe there's somewhat of a soft spot. Avalo shama lo. Okay, but if he didn't hear about it, and he just went out fishing, and he didn't even know that there was a child out there, and he threw out his net, and he ended up capturing the child, even Rabba, with a hay. Even Rabba will tell you, Rabba, right? They say the yeshivas. So even he would say, no, you don't get a pass. The person's intent was to violate Shabbos. He did violate Shabbos, and that's it. So in other words, let's now take that back to our discussion about the two animals. He shucked the first animal, it looked good, it looked plump, it looked great. And then he went and he shucked the second animal. He had no right to do that. His intention was to violate Shabbos. And he did, and he shucked the second animal. And now it turns out that the first animal was no good, but now the Gemara says, but you know what that's similar to? That's analogous to not even knowing the child was there.
Right?
He didn't know. Meaning that when you shucked the second animal, you didn't know that you were going to get saved by that first animal. You didn't know that the intestines of the first animal were thin and no good. So, if anything, there's no debate. Here, his intention was to violate Shabbos. He did violate Shabbos. As a result of the first animal, turns out that he didn't, but he didn't know that, he doesn't get a pass.
The intent is not enough. You have a result also.
Correct. You need an intent. Correct. Right? Agreed. Of course. Iga de Amri. Now we're going to say that we're going to do this again. We're going to just modify the way we're going to say it. Amale Hainu Plutai, the Rabba Virava, the Itmar, Shamashatavatinok, Biyamu Parshmatud, Alalos Dagam, Vala Dagam, Chayav, Lalos Dagam, Vala Tinok, the Dagam, Rabba Amar Pato, Zilbasar Maasav. Rabba says action is everything, meaning, look at, I don't want to say action. Look at the result. The result is really going to define whether it was a malach or not. A child came up on his net. Oh. I know he didn't intend to save the child. But look at the result. The child came up on the net. So he gets a pass that time around for fishing because the child came up on the net. And Rava Amar Chayv Zobas Amach Shavasar, and Rava says no, but his intention was to violate Shabbos, and he did violate Shabbos, and that's going to be it. According to this version, now we'll go back to our case of shechting the two animals, and according to Rava, result. And the result is, even though when he shechted the second animal, the first animal was shechted, and his full intent was to violate Shabbos, but turns out that I didn't need the first animal, and the second animal now is our only carbon chatos. So you know what? Even though his intention was to violate Shabbos, but you look at the result.
Is this an opinion about piach sofa? In other words, the end.
Something like that. Yes, yes. I would say that would be a good svara over here. Let's do a little bit more. I know the hour is late. Let's just do a little bit more in order to finish off to the next Mishnah. Amar Rabba. Chol shamdul agrogoros achas v'ratzu asar b'nei adam ve'evio asar agrogoros b'vas achas peturim. Doctor says, patient's ill, he needs a fig, just one fig. 10 guys go running out, each one of them brings back a fig, they're all putter. And again, I'm going to make this clear, putter over here means they all did the right thing. Not just they're exempt and excused from it. They did the right thing. They all did the right thing. And look, and even if it wasn't all simultaneous, and even if it was one after the other, and even if he made a recovery after the first one, they're all in efforts to save a life. Good. By Rav Chol Shamdul Shtei Grogos V'Yesh Shtei Grogos B'Shtei Uksin V'Shalosh Be'Ukatz Achas Haimina Ma'Sinan. Doctor says the patient needs two figs. You go out to the tree, and here's what you find. Now you only have license on Shabbos to cut down two figs. So you go to the tree, and here's what you do. You find three figs on one branch, two figs on two branches. Okay. So what are you going to do? Now, to cut the one branch and to get the three figs, so it's one act of malacha, but it's more figs than you need. You could have cut two figs. Okay, so two figs, but that's two cuts. Okay. So again, this is the theme of the day, conservation of malacha. Pshita. The Gemara says this is a no-brainer. Shalosh maisinan. You do that one cut. The ad kan lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hasam ala dechi memai ba'achila kam memai ketzira. Because look, even the Rabbi Shmuel that started the entire discussion rolling today, so he's memayet ba'achila, on Shabbos he wants to cut the number from 5 down to 3. Yeah, but in resulting, that's less malacha. Alahachi memayet ba'achila kam memai ketzira, alahacha dechi kam memai ba'achila kam mafsha ketzira vada shalosh masinan. But here, in order for me to get two, I need two cuts. Of course, Rabbi Shmuel is going to tell you, do the one cut, even though the one cut would yield three grogros, three fruit. Okay, good. Okay, first Mishnah, first sugya of the sixth parak of Menachos. Okay, Le'ilu Nishmas Malka Bas Yochanan Neshama Shavu'ah.
He only made one malacha.
Right. Shita. The Gemara says that was obvious. No. Understood. The Gemara says that's never an issue. You always mechavah. Okay, are we a minute?
With a young man, we have.